Thanks for coming to my talk. And thanks to Mark for moderating and Gilbert for organizing. Before I start, I want to thank the people who actually did the work on this project. So Viola Manning and Don Watts are super technicians who have really helped drive this research forward. I do want to point out that the title of my talk is a little bit more aspirational than results-driven at this point, but I hope to convince you today that microbes do have an impact on the ability of plants to colonize these highly degraded soils. So I work for the Ag Research Service, and I'm often asked, why are you looking at mines? It's not like we're growing corn on them, unless you're Kurt, and then you do that. But there's a whole lot of mines across the United States, and the erosion and runoff from these mines significantly impact surface waters that we use for irrigation. These sites are characterized by having a really low pH, high amounts of metals, and very little organic matter. And honestly, that's the problem with marginal agricultural lands, too. And so if we can show that we can propel the colonization of these really highly degraded sites by plants, perhaps that'll inform our efforts to feed 9 billion people over the next couple decades. Now, in order to understand why mine sites are so challenging to remediate, you need to understand a little bit about the connections between the microbes and the abiotic conditions. Most of these sites are dominated by pyrite ore, and pyrite can be oxidized one of two ways. It can be oxidized in the presence of oxygen. Now, this is a pretty slow reaction that produces ferrous iron. But ferrous iron can also act as an electron donor to support the growth and proliferation of organisms that use it for growth and proliferation, specifically acidophilic autotrophs. These organisms oxidize ferrous iron to produce ferric iron and then a whole bunch of acid. Now, as ferric iron builds up, it can also catalyze the dissolution of pyrite, and producing a whole lot of sulfuric acid. Now, the interesting thing about this is that there's this really beautiful but somewhat toxic connection between the abiotic and the biotic, in that the abiotic dissolution of pyrite catalyzes the enzymatic oxidation of ferrous iron, which in turn catalyzes the abiotic dissolution of pyrite. And so this connection, really subliminally selects for the proliferation of these acidophilic microbes and catalyzes this reaction to perpetuate their existence. So when we talk about why mine sites are so difficult to remediate, it's because there's this really toxic triangle between water and oxygen and autotrophic microbes that propel this biogeochemistry. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the Formosa mine in Oregon, where we're working. This is a pretty zoomed out view on Google Maps. And here's Formosa, and you can see that it's much smaller than some of the surrounding clear cuts and other mines. But I often quote Shakespeare when I talk about this site, because even though she's pretty tiny, she sure packs a punch. So here's Formosa, and it's a 76-acre site. It was historically mined for copper and zinc. In the 1990s, it was closed, and remediation efforts failed there, polluting 16 miles of Middle Creek and killing all salmonids that were there. And so it turned into a Superfund site, and even today, strongly acidic drainage comes off this site that contains such high levels of toxic metals that it wouldn't pass any safe drinking water standard in North America. So when we talk about how do we go from this toxic triangle, kind of the circle of life, well, I'd like to use this trapezoid of products. So we're going to use some biochar. This is made from Doug Fir. It's a really nice biochar. We're using local biosolids from a wastewater treatment plant, some lime, and then what we'd like to do is go out and collect some local microbes from forested sites and see if we can inoculate them into this mix to sort of jumpstart the biology and maybe take over some of these autotrophic microbial populations. So this is a greenhouse experiment we did, and I'll walk you through the experimental design. First off, we went and collected soil from the forest and the mine site as a control. We collected from about 2 centimeters down to 10 centimeters down because we really wanted to select for rhizosphere organisms, not those that are on the surface degrading the organic matter. And then we cultured them in a weak solution of sugar and amino acids for about 2 weeks. And then we used that inoculum to inoculate both biochar and biosolids in an 80-20 mix to form what is known as a bokashi, or a fermented soil amendment. As that bokashi fermented with these different microbes, we filled up a PVC cylinder, a 4-inch PVC cylinder with mined soil, to about 2/3 of the way full. And then on top of that, after a couple weeks, we mixed these different bokashis, the false bokashi, the forest origin bokashi, and the mine origin bokashi, with mine tailings, lime, and then we let that go for 30 days before we planted it with ryegrass. Now, as I said, there's four different treatments in here. We've got lime alone and then lime mixed with these different organisms. Okay, so this is what the experiment looked at day one. This is what it looked like about halfway through the experiment. I don't have a nice picture of the last day of the experiment, so these just got a lot bigger. And then the last day of the experiment, what we did was we harvested the plants and we cut the soil columns in half. And so we were able to harvest this in section. So we took this top section where the roots were really kind of bound up, and we separated this into two soils, a bulk soil and a rhizosphere soil, and then we sampled these mined soils underneath to see if the microbes had any influence moving downwards. And then we completed these analyses. I don't have time to talk about all these analyses today. Some are still in progress, but I'm going to talk about the ones that are in bold. Okay, so first off, just to orient you guys to sort of my results here, I'll be using these colors throughout my presentation to sort of keep it simple. Plants grown in lime alone are in lime-colored bars. And then these bars, the mine is in orange, black is the false bokashi that didn't have any inoculum in them, and then the forest origin bokashi. As you can see, we immediately saw differences with the mine origin bokashi and had significantly less germination in those pots. And maybe, perhaps, that's why we don't see recolonization of the mine after after 20 years. After 112 days, the plant biomass in the lime amended soil alone was significantly smaller in both the roots and the shoots, even though the pH wasn't any different in the soil. These don't show up very well, but these are pictures of our treatments right at harvest. And here's the mine. Now, if you look a little closer at those leaves, again, it's not showing up great on the screen, but these are pretty purple and chlorotic. And so we hypothesized that that could either be due to a zinc toxicity or a phosphate deficiency. So I'm going to be showing a couple heat maps in the next few slides. And just to remind you, things in blue on the heat map tend to be below the mean. Things in red tend to be above the mean. So so when you look at these boxes, you can kind of see what I'm talking about. And then what we did each of these treatments is at the top. So again, lime in the same colors. And then we've got these different parameters on the bottom that we've measured. These are all plant chemistry measurements. And the immediate thing that jumps out is that the plant chemistry in the lime amended soils is much different. It clusters really well together, while the rest are sort of intermixed. And so the mine chemistry of the plants, the chemistry of the plants grown in lime is much different from the other treatments. One of the interesting things is that there is clearly a phosphate deficiency in these lime or grown plants, and so that could be coming from one of two places, either from a lack of phosphate in the soil, so perhaps the bokashi had a lot of phosphate in it, or it could be the microbes. So let's go to these soils and look at them. The first thing I want to point out is that within these replicates, none of the treatments really cluster. So that tells us that even though there's differences amongst the replicates, there's really no trends here that separate out the soils. This is true for phosphate as well. So even though there's differences, clearly there's not a phosphate deficiency in the lime soils in comparison with the ones with the additional carbon. So perhaps it's the microbes that are catalyzing these differences. So what we did was we looked at total PLFAs, or the fatty acids coming out of these extractions of the soils, and we did this in each of these. We did this in each of these soils. So in the spoils, which are in this brown, so this section, there wasn't a big difference in the total amount of PLFAs. And the same thing for the bulk; they were pretty similar across these different treatments. However, in the rise of fear, we did start to see differences, and so that was exciting and suggested that perhaps there was particular recruitment to the rhizosphere of different organisms. So we took another closer look at that. Here's another one of these heat maps. These are bulk soil PLFAs, so extractions that were done from that top section, but not really close to the roots. And the first thing that you'll notice is, again, although there are differences amongst the replicates, none of the treatments really cluster out. And so what that tells us is that there's no real trends in the bulk soil. So what is, and if you do a PLFA analysis, if you do a PCA analysis and you ordinate these, you can see that nothing really separates out as well. So what do the rhizosphere look like? In order to see if there were differences in the rhizosphere, we wanted to compare this to time zero. So these are our time zero in these different treatments in the bulk soil, because of course we don't have roots at time zero. And then the rhizosphere at day 112 is really interesting. So the first thing you'll notice is that the lime treatment really clusters with the time zero. So the plants grown in lime aren't able to recruit microbes from the bulk soil to help them recruit nutrients. So that was really interesting. Another interesting point is that the mine samples do tend to cluster out by themselves. So perhaps they're, although they are real similar to the other carbon treatments, perhaps they are moving away. So this is really obvious if you just kind of broadly look at this heat map, because you've got this increase in organisms in these carbon soils throughout the forest and the Salt-Bokashi treatments. So I was particularly interested in looking at AM fungi because they can recruit phosphorus to the plant, and you can see that there is a lack of arbuscular mycorrhizae in the lime soil. Here's a PCA analysis on ordination, and the second principal component does separate out based on the lime or the presence of carbon in the treatment. Again, that sort of indicates that the soil carbon does allow recruitment of microbes to the rhizosphere, and that's sort of obvious, but I'm really happy to see it because it shows us that perhaps adding these microbes to the to our treatments will have an impact on the ability to phytostabilize. So here are just our conclusions. I'm not going to repeat them again, but we were really excited to see that these techniques had an influence, and we're starting to refine them as we go out to the field to do a long-term study. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions for Kristen?
Yeah, I think it's really possible, right? I mean, if you go back do this really quick. If you go back to these systems, you can see that, you know, there's no real difference in the zinc in the plant chemistry here amongst the treatments, but there is a difference in the phosphate. So I'm not really sure that they're connected. But we can argue about that later.
Anybody else?
No, you know, I mean, we thought about it, but I'm afraid of driving off the volatiles that are in the biochar in the autoclave process. So that's why we sort of did this false bokashi, where we incubated it with the media alone without any organisms in it.
All right. Thank you very much, Kristen.